If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And let me begin by saying Shana Tova, a good, sweet, and wonderful year to each and every one of you. We are in a very special time of the year, the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the days of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance, of return, of renewal, times that each and every one of us is able to achieve great things in life. It's time that Hashem has energized with extraordinary power. There's no question. There's no question whatsoever that God Almighty has listened to our prayers. We were in shul. We davened. We turned to Hashem and we pleaded with Him, each and every one of us, with our own needs, physical needs, material needs, spiritual needs. And every one of us has a shopping list. Every one of us has specific needs, health, wealth, relationships, whatever it is, personal situations, greater situations. The world is a frightening and confusing place today. Every time we listen to what's taking place in the world today, we become more and more uncertain. And this is why our prayers are far more intense. Not only are we concerned with our own needs, we're concerned with our people, with our holy land. We're concerned with rising anti-Semitism. We're concerned with what the world is doing, how nations are behaving, how once friends are turning against us. We are concerned about the chaos that exists. And therefore, there is no question in my mind that each and every one of us, for a moment or two or even longer, turned our prayers to greater needs this year. And I have no doubt whatsoever that God Almighty listened to our prayers on high. He listened to our prayers and will respond to our prayers in a positive way. He will grant each and every one of us a chatima ugemar chatima tova. He will seal our book of life with everything that's good. And not only that, but collectively as a people, our holy land, the IDF, the hostages, each and every one of them, please God, we'll see great blessings, we'll see great miracles, we'll see great positive change. But it's also a time that Hashem expects us to continue with those prayers, to add to those prayers, to take the energy that He has blessed this time of the year with, and to use them to the best of our abilities. Yes, being in shul on Rosh Hashanah, listening to the shofar, listening to the reading of the Torah, listening to whatever sermon you heard, all of that is important. But we mustn't give up. We have to continue. We have to take huge advantage of the time that we're in, because this is an incredible gift from God. It's not ordinary times. It's not simple times. God has given us challenging times, but He's also given us tremendous, tremendous power. He's given us the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. He's given us these special days. Each and every single day is laden with extraordinary power, with extraordinary opportunity. And as the prophets tell us, our sages tell us, Dirshu Hashem behimotso, search out God while He is close. This is a time that our prayers are heard so much easier, so much quicker. Hashem responds to our prayers in a far greater measure than normally. During these days, some people say slichot. Everybody says the Avinu Malkeinu, the long Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. And it's a long list that we plead, we ask Hashem for tremendous blessing in so many areas of life. It's an opportunity not to be overlooked. It's a time of, well, opportunity. And this is something that we have to remember. Rosh Hashanah is a time that we crown the King, God Almighty, King of the universe. He expects us to proclaim him as King. As we say in the, well, the first, second, and third section of the Musa prayer, all these things are directed toward calling out to Hashem as King. And what does that mean? It means that we submit to his greatness. We submit to his authority. We submit to his presence as King, as Creator, as the one who gives us that which we are and that which we need. A very great saying, Man de'yov chaya, yov mezona. The one who gives us life will also give us bread. He who brings us into being will also give us all the necessities in order to live, and to live well, materially and spiritually. And this is something that we can achieve so much easier during this time of the year. The Aseret Yemei Tshuva, powerful time, extraordinary time. Each and every one of us in our own way. This is a time to make resolutions. You know, we often laugh, New Year resolutions, what are they worth? They are worth gold and silver and diamonds and precious gems. We make them, and please God, we keep them. We live by them. We stand by them. Because this is the time of the year that we put upon ourselves, well, the promise of being better, of being stronger, of being greater in the fuller sense of the word. And we do so because we can do so. And if we can do so, we should do so. The 10 days of Teshuvah. Teshuvah is not only repentance for sin. It's far greater than that. It's returning. It's reconnecting. It's coming back to the source, to God Almighty, becoming one again. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about this special time of the year, the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when, although days of awe, we stand before God, the ultimate judge, days that, since time immemorial, Jewish people approached with fear, trembling before the judge of judges. But at the same time, these are days where God welcomes us with tremendous compassion and love. Yes, it's a time of judgment. Yes, it's a very somber and serious time. But at the same time, it's a vino volcano. And as we say after we blow the shofar, those beautiful words, Im kavonim, im ka'avodim. We turn to God and we say, please listen to us, either as children or as servants. As children, please treat us with the compassion and love that a father treats a child. And if like servants, treat us with the kindness that a master would treat the servant. In other words, both elements are there, a father or a master, a vino malkeinu, a father, a king. And because of this, it's important to know that our type of behavior at this time has to have these components as well. And this is why when we speak about teshuva, when we talk about the idea of teshuva, it's important that we see that term and we understand that term in the widest possible sense. And we often make a mistake that teshuva is translated simply as repentance. And if we do so, we limit its true meaning. Yes, it does contain the element of repentance. Of course it does. But at the same time, it's far beyond repentance as well. Because if it was repentance alone, we wouldn't call it teshuvah. We would call it charata, regret, repentance. There is a dimension of regret and repentance in teshuvah. We all know. We make mistakes. We have shortcomings. We have made bad choices in life in the past year. And for that, we have to deal with it correctly. Yes, there is a process of repentance. But we go beyond that as well. Because teshuvah also contains within its word, in its translation, and certainly within its deeper meaning, the idea of returning. Returning where? To our source. And what is our source? Our sages tell us that we have a neshama, we have a soul. And soul is chelek eleka. It's part and parcel of God himself. And as the Baal HaTanya writes, it's chelek eleka mimal mamash, God himself. It's not some vague term. It's a very precise term that defines what our soul is. It's not only that which animates us. It's not that which gives us life. It is that which connects us with God, and it's the core of our being. And when we speak about return, that's where we return to our core, to our beginning. And during this time of teshuva, of intense teshuva, we have to return to our King and to our Father. And this is why we have to understand both elements, the element of repentance, of trying to correct the shortcomings of the past, but at the same time, there has to be, in a sense, a joyous return to our core, a child to a father coming back home. And this is what this time is all about, combining both elements, the fuller and greater meaning of the word teshuva. This is the energy of this particular time. How do we do this? How do we actually achieve such an enormous task? If teshuva was only repentance, it might have been a simpler task. You know, we sit down, we say the Yashamna, we say the Al-Chait, we consider the mistakes that we've made, we resolve not to do them again. To the best of our ability, we discipline ourselves. But to return to God, to come back to the core of our being, how do we achieve an enormous task like returning to God, the source, the core of our being? And the answer lies in the opening words of the Haftarah that we're going to read tomorrow. It's Shabbat Shuva. And the Haftarah reads, Shuva Yisrael. The Jewish people have to return. Ad Hashem Elokecha. Translated simply, until God, your Lord. Now God has different names. And each name describes a different dimension of God. Hashem, the four-letter name of God, speaks about the infinite dimension of God, that which cannot be contained in any type of description, God beyond any type of description, the essential dimension of God, the core of creation. And then Elohim, Elohim is that dimension of God which actively is involved in creating the world. It can be defined. It can be understood to a certain degree. And the great Maggid of Mizrich once called together the Chevraya Kedisha, the Holy Brotherhood, and told them, what is Shabbos Shuvah all about? What is Teshuvah all about? That you have to connect both dimensions of God to bring down that infinite, non-definable, great dimension of God into Elohim, into something which you can feel and understand. And the Brotherhood were overwhelmed by this incredible. The world is a place which distorts godliness. It hides godliness. We don't see godliness. We see a natural order. We talked about this so many times. We take it for granted. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. Put a seed in the ground and it grows. The entire natural structure is something that we take for granted. But it's a miracle. It's God that creates and regulates and recreates at every single moment all those dimensions. But we don't see the miracle. We see the superficial natural. And most of us are content by accepting that superficial natural dimension, the surface. What a teshuvah, working at understanding what lies beneath that surface, the godly, the miraculous, the majestic, takes effort, tremendous effort. And one of the great disciples of the great Maggid of Mizrich, Reb Zusha of Aleppo, said that the only way he can achieve it is by breaking down the word teshuvah into five different components, each one coming from a different letter of teshuvah. And he said the tough of the word teshuvah is tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. That you have to have, at the beginning, simple faith, absolute faith. That your faith in God must not be complicated. You accept Him with your mind and with your heart, with your entire consciousness, on a simple, sincere, in the word, with an Ehrlichkeit, with a sincerity. It has to be genuine, uncomplicated. The second level is the shin of the word, teshuvah. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. I place God in front of me at all times. I strive to understand how God constantly creates and recreates the world, as the Baal Shem Tov taught us, that it's not that He created the world once upon a time and it just went on from then. But at every single instant there is recreation. And that can be understood. Our Kabbalistic and Hasidic masters teach us that that can be understood. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. I begin to see the miracle of creation constantly. The Vav of Teshuvah is V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, loving your fellow. It's not enough to grow spiritually on your own. It's not enough to develop yourself on your own. But you have to exercise true Ahavat Yisrael. And if one looks at our communities throughout the world, perhaps particularly in the Holy Land, it is so vital. It is so necessary. The unity that we so desperately need. And a unity that is real. Of course we're different. We have different customs, different communities, different attitudes and different ideas. But that in no way, in any way, should interfere with a true sense of unity and love toward each other. difference does not mean separateness. Yes, we are different one from another. But v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. And the bet of the word teshuva is b'chol derechecha da'ehu. Know God in everything that you do. God is not in the shul when I pray or when I study. Whatever I do, in business, playing sport, wherever and whatever I do, eating a meal, I have to sense godliness. And the fifth is hatzne leches, be humble. Don't be arrogant. Don't thrust your piety in someone else's face. Be a gentle example of what godliness and piety is all about. That's what tshuva is, said Reb Zusha. And that's how we return. That's how we get back to the core. That's how we exercise and develop that second stage of tshuva. Yes, the first, repent, but then return. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
And the Parsha, of course, is Vayelech. But listen to this first. And, yes, where is that paper? Craig, where did you give me that paper? Ah, here it is. Rosh Hashanah, New Year, is a time to, well, no, not that paper. Ah, here we are. Discover the delightful symphony of flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham every Friday. Indulge in fresh-baked flavored challahs like za'atar, homemade and classic loaves, all perfect for Shabbat. Try the Friends Bakery new pretzel challah. You'll be a fan for life. For a limited time, enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. Place your order early via WhatsApp at 076-108-0085. That's 076-108-0085. And taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary. Vayelech. The parsha, it's always read either right before Rosh Hashanah, right after Rosh Hashanah. And it's a fascinating parsha. And it's a fascinating parsha because this is the last day in the life of Moshe. Can you believe it? 7th of Adar. And Moshe, well, who can compare to Moshe, the greatest Jewish leader of all times? And it says, Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went. Where did he go? And one would think it's the last day of his life. He has important things to do. He has to put his affairs into order. But no. To the last minute of his life, on the last day of his life, Moshe kept on doing what he did all his life, and that was to exercise leadership in the fullest sense of the word. He went to study because he had to teach the people aspects of Torah. He went from tribe to tribe to bid them farewell. But Vayelech also means, and he grew. Because in leadership, you cannot remain static. You have to continue to grow. Because as you grow as a leader, so your nation, so your people grow as well. But if you stop growing, your people, your followers, stop growing as well. Leadership demands huge responsibility, tremendous courage, huge responsibility. And perhaps one of the most telling and touching aspects of the parsha, although there are many, it's a very short parsha, the shortest parsha in fact, is when he speaks to Joshua, his successor. And every time he speaks to Joshua and tells him that he is going to be the one who actually leads the Jewish people across the Jordan into the promised land. What does he say? He always says, Chazak va'amatz, be strong have fortitude, be bold. Because as a leader, you cannot falter. You have to make difficult, strong decisions. And being popular is not necessarily the single most important aspect of being a leader. Yes, it's important to be concerned about your people. That's the core. But very often, you have to make decisions that won't make you popular. But you know, those decisions are the best for your people. And therefore, you have to be strong and bold to have fortitude. That's what he tells Joshua again and again and again, almost every single time. He speaks to Joshua about succession, about taking over the leadership. He uses those words, chazak va'amatz, be strong. And he also subtly suggests to him, it's not an easy people that you have to lead. They are a troublesome people. They are people who will make tremendous demands. They won't agree. They will protest. They'll become upset. They're a finicky people. They'll question your leadership. They'll attack your leadership. Chazak v'amatz, be strong. We live in a world today where most leaders, or many leaders, not most leaders, they want to be popular. They want to be liked by most of the people, and that's where they fail. Because most people don't understand the reality of serious situations. People can be swayed so very easily by nonsense. And this is where sincere, concerned, and considerate leadership has to be strong. Vayelech Moshe, the last day of his life, by example, he indicates and shows leadership. Vayelech, he moves, he goes, he grows. He doesn't sit back and say, well, I've done my job sitting back and doing nothing. No. He leads. And when you lead, ultimately people will respect and look up to you. You know, being popular and having respect are two separate things. This is what Moshe is conveying to Joshua. I think about the current situation today. The current situation facing Jewish leaders today. Leaders will have to deal with the nations of the world. Leaders will have to deal with Jewish communities. Do they stand by this incredible, incredible message of chazak v'amatz, of being strong and bold? Some do, yes. Many don't. Many, tragically, are led by the people instead of leading the people. Many misread the situation terribly. This is what he tells Joshua. He says there'll be many critical moments as you lead the Jewish people into the promised land. Of course, God will be at your side and guide you and show you miracles. But there will be battles. And battles are never pleasant moments. War is never an easy situation. The loss of life is never pleasant, God forbid. But as a leader, you have to understand what leadership means. And this is a great, great indicator of what true leadership is all about. The ability to lead in the face of great difficulty. And to do the right thing. To do the right thing despite the noise that surrounds you. Apply that lesson to what you hear and see around you in terms of the challenges that our Jewish leaders have to make today. Think about it. Think about it carefully. During these days of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, special days, great days. Great days when the world is behaving what I consider so stupidly, dangerously stupidly. We need leadership, honest leadership, bold leadership, strong leadership. And as I always say, when you're in shul tomorrow, and you should be in shul, listen carefully to the parsha. Listen carefully to the words of Moshe, special words, great words. It's a short parsha. And listen to what you can hear, what resonates in your mind and your heart. And also, it's the Shabbos before Yom Kippur. We're going to stand before God on that day of fast, when we will be sealed for Shana Tova Umetuka, a good and sweet year, where God will grant each and every one of us all that we truly need, and perhaps more importantly, to tell us what we truly need, as individuals, as a people, as a nation, in our holy land, and to grant us the greatest gifts of well-being, of peace, in the fullest and truest sense of the word. Think about all those things. And when you listen to the parsha, start your prayers now and continue. Don't stop. It's a special time, extraordinary time, a time that's laden with power and opportunity. Use it well. Have a meaningful fast. An easy fast. Good Shabbos.